confessions this morning. The scariest thing is to have to deal with sermon sack. And I tried to volunteer Jim White for it this morning, but Carl did not take me up on that. So, Tim, you can't get out of it, and Eddie, you can't get out of it, but I can get out of the sermon sack. If you would, please, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. And as you're turning, I will tell you that I've been doing my very best to get away from this passage. 2 weeks ago, I thought I was going to be preaching on a different passage altogether. But last quarter in ABF, Ed kept telling us over and over again about our blessing and our birthright in Christ Jesus. And he kept pointing back to this passage. I just couldn't get away from it. So we are in Ephesians chapter 3, chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ Jesus to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heaven and things upon the earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things according to the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, having listened to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in him also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we know that it's your Spirit who uses your word to make your people more nearly like your Son. And that's what we pray this morning. Give us ears to hear. Give us minds to understand. Give us hearts to apply your word. May we leave here differently this morning because we spent time around your word. But Father, more importantly, may you be pleased, you the audience of one, be pleased with our worship this morning. May it be a sweet sound in your ears, we pray, to the glory, to the praise of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. When was the last time you stopped and counted your blessings? When was the last time? In fact, let's do that right now. Let's count our blessings, just one at a time, in your big outside voice. Tell us one of the ways God has blessed you. Who'll be first? Steve Arneson, what's one of the ways God has blessed you?
God bless me with a wife who loves the Lord and children who are storing up the treasures of the scriptures in their hearts.
Praise the Lord. Who else? Maxwell. Still has a job. How else has God blessed you? Who else? Someone else? I will draft. I'm sorry, Mark. Excuse me?
Forgave a whole lot of sins.
How else has God blessed y'all? Bill.
Revealed and called him to a living Savior.
How else? Who else? What's next? Yes, I see that hand, but I can't see the face. Still alive. God preserves us. We've made it to today, and he's given us today. And that's a blessing. How else has God blessed y'all this morning? In the back, Linda.
Amazing Christian friends.
Amazing Christian friends. Marty.
Given us this wonderful church.
Given us this church. What else? How else has God blessed you today?
He's
Bill.
Given us the opportunity to serve.
Given us the opportunity to serve. How else?
I live in
free country. Free country. What else? How else has God blessed you?
He blessed me with the gift of salvation, the greatest gift of all.
The greatest gift of all, the blessing of salvation. And you know, when you stop and think about and counting your blessings, it changes the way you think, doesn't it? At least it ought to. It ought to change the way you think. And if you spend enough time thinking about it, it might be that you respond like Shane Bernard did in a song we won't sing this morning, but I thought of after Troy and I talked. Shane wrote, "When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around and put my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are worthy of all the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise." And I know we're a Presbyterian congregation, we don't shout, but it's okay to get excited today. It's okay to get excited because we're going to spend some time thinking about the way God has blessed us, because that's what Paul's all about in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. He tells us pretty much everything that God has done for us in Christ. And we could take multiple sermons to cover this passage. In fact, my favorite preacher story is the story about the pastor who decided he was going to preach through Ephesians. So he started in Ephesians 1:1. 2 years later, he got to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. He decided he better move on to a different book. So we won't do that this morning. I know there's basketball starts at 12:15 or something like that. But Paul is not out to write a systematic theology. Paul is out to evoke praise in the hearts of his people. And in fact, he tells us that right up front. In verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And friends, that's the big idea right there. We should praise God because he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We should praise God because he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And again, we can't take time to unpack all of them. We're just going to focus on four this morning. Four ways in which God has blessed us. The first is in verses 4-6. I will not reread it, but it's verses 4-6. "Before there was time, he chose us in Christ." Before there was time, he chose us in Christ. That's the first blessing to think about this morning. But then, of course, you know, for some people, the idea of God choosing us makes them squirm. I mean, after all, the song says, "I have decided to follow Jesus," right? So I'm the one who makes the decision to follow him. And the whole idea of God choosing us makes people uncomfortable. Some people, not here. People in, where would that be? Idaho or something like that. In non-PCA churches in Idaho. Then there's the whole idea of choose. The word choose comes from the Greek word from which we get elect. And of course, we think about an election. What do we think about? Us casting our vote, right? That's what we think about an election. We're voting for something, and maybe people would argue what God did was look down through history. Look down through time, look ahead and see how we would vote, and then he chose us according to the way we voted. Well, is that what's going on here? Short answer is no. The short answer is no. The longer answer is the statement "he chose us" is modified with "before the foundation of the world and according to the good pleasure of his will. So what does that mean? That means before there was time, before you even were trying to make any kind of decisions, before you were a glimmer in your parents' eyes, and before your parents were a glimmer in their parents' eyes, and before God called Abraham to leave Ur of Chaldees, and before God spoke creation into existence, when there was only the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in complete, perfect communion with one another, before there was time, before there was history, God chose you. Before there was time, before there was history, God chose you. And he did it in accordance, what does it say? According to the good pleasure of his will. It pleased him to do it. It had nothing at all to do with the good things you're going to do or the bad things you're going to do or when and how it all works out. It was his sovereign will, his sovereign choice to choose you. It's a hard one to illustrate. Let me tell you a story. When I was in high school, I hated physical education. I hated PE with a passion. Can anyone relate to that? I just hated it. It was the worst two periods of the week. Every week, it kept coming back. Too short for basketball, too scrawny for football, too slow for soccer, too uncoordinated for wrestling. In fact, the first time I wrestled, 5 seconds right down. I knew it was up and it was down. I don't know how he did it, but that's the way it was. And I hated that class with a passion. There was only kind of one faint glimmer every once in a while, and that's when we play volleyball. Wasn't really very good at volleyball, but one of the guys who always got chosen to be one of the captains always chose me for his team, and it wasn't the last person. I don't know why. I never asked him. He never told me. My wife has a theory, even though she's never met him. I don't know why. But I rejoiced in the fact that for whatever reason, he chose me. And that's the way we should think about this. Don't worry about trying to figure it all out. Rejoice. Rejoice that before there was time, according to the good pleasure of his will, God chose you. He didn't need you on his team. He didn't need me on his team, but he chose us anyway. Rejoice. Praise God for that, because Paul also tells us that he chose us with a purpose, and that purpose is that we might be holy and blameless before him. We can stand in God's presence, holy and blameless, and have fellowship with him, and it's not because of anything that we have done. In fact, it's despite, as Mark pointed out, it's despite a lot of things that we've all done. He chose you before there was time. He chose you in Christ. Now, I don't know where y'all are this morning. Some of you might be thinking, no one cares about me. No one loves me. I'm not worth anything. If that's the way you're thinking, I have good news for you. God cared enough about you to send his son to make you holy and blameless before him. You didn't have to figure out how to do it. He chose you. Before there was time, he chose us in Christ. Surely, surely that is a reason to praise God. Can I get an amen? Okay, amen from Presbyterian congregation. That might be a first. Last time I did this to you, Carl said I was trying to turn you charismatic. That's not true. It's okay to be excited. It's okay to be happy. Before there was time, he chose us in Christ. We have to keep on going. Verses 7 to 10. In the fullness of time, he redeemed us in Christ. In the fullness of time, he redeemed us in Christ. Now, election is one of those big theological words we have to unpack. Redemption is one of those too. One of those also. Let me just unpack it a little bit by starting with what it isn't. It's probably only the people who are 40 years old or older. Anyone remember S&H green stamps? Yeah, S&H green stamps. For those of you who are young, ask the age of green stamps and saving stamps. My parents, for instance, would go to the A&P. A&P no longer exists. They go to the grocery store. They'd pay $10 for groceries, which was quite a bit at that in those days. And they would get like 10 of these little strip of 10 little green stamps. And they'd go home and they'd take the stamps and they'd paste it into a book. And they'd keep pasting it in. Eventually they'd fill up a book. Then they put that book with 249 other books and go to the green stamp redemption store where they could turn these books, this stack of stamps in for something exotic like a toaster or a table lamp. That's not what redemption is. Redemption is not us saving up our little bit of good stuff and then taking it in and turning to God and saying, look what I've done. Isn't this great? No. Will you do something good for me? Give me a present. Give me a gift. That's not what redemption is. In fact, redemption, the biblical idea, is to secure release by paying a price. Redemption, to redeem someone, is to secure a release by paying a price. There's a great example in the Old Testament. It's the book of Ruth. Y'all know that story. I won't spend a lot of time. Just let me summarize. You know what happened. Ruth was living in Moab. She was a Moabitess. She married a Jew. Her husband died. She followed, went back to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, Naomi. While she was in Bethlehem working the field, she met this guy named Boaz. Boaz fell in love with her and wanted to marry her. There was a big problem. Ruth's former husband owed a debt, and she couldn't pay it. Until that debt was cleared, she couldn't marry Boaz. So what does he do? She has a debt. You've heard the song. She has a debt she couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. He bought the field. He paid the debt. She is free. They get married. They become the great-grandparents of King David. It's a great picture of what Jesus has done for us. We all owe debts that we cannot pay. Yet Jesus, in the fullness of time, paid that price to set us free. And that's what it means when it talks about he redeemed us in Christ. There's more here. I mean, why did he do it? Verse 9 says he did it because it's according to the good pleasure of his will. It made God happy to do it. It pleased him to redeem us. What did it cost? Verse 7, it cost us Jesus' death on the cross. You want to make a note? Go look later. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. You know you weren't redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or spot. God did it because it made him happy, because it pleased him. God did it even though it cost him, cost Christ his very life. Death on the cross. The result is forgiveness of sins. That's why in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, There is now therefore what? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus did pay it all, and we owe it all to him. But maybe you're thinking this morning, you know, God could never really be interested in me. My past is really nasty. My present's kind of messy. Why would God even want to be interested in me? Well, friends, in the fullness of time, he sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. In the fullness of time, God redeemed us in Christ. And surely, surely, that is a reason to praise God. Amen? Amen. Okay, you're getting there. Turn you Baptist sooner or later. Okay. He chose us in Christ. He redeemed us in Christ. Verses 11 and 12, he claimed us. At just the right time, he claimed us in Christ. At just the right time, he claimed us in Christ. The New American Standard says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. It's a tough verse to translate. The New American Standard has the inheritance part right, but it has the sense of the verb wrong. The verb is not something we do. It's something that's done to us. The NIV says we were chosen. So there they got the sense of the verb right, but they have the wrong verb. Because chosen's back up here in verse 4. The verb here is to claim as a possession. To claim as a possession. And probably a better translation here is, we were claimed as God's possession. We were claimed as God's possession. Because what God did, he chose us before there was time. He redeemed us in Christ. Then at just the right time, he reached out and grabbed us and said, this one's mine. Now's the time. Or as Robertson McQuilkin would say, little brother, little sister, It's time for you to start walking with me. That kind of thing. You know what it's like when you have something that you own and you want to get it back. A couple years ago, you can tell it was a couple years ago by the width of this tie, but I was eating in the dining hall. Nice yellow tie. I had a bowl of blueberry yogurt on my tray. I wasn't paying attention when I sat down. Doink! All of a sudden, I had yellow tie to here and purple tie the rest of the way down. Well, Anita took it to the dry cleaner. The dry cleaner gave her a claim check. Took the tie, gave her a same check, and said, when you come back, give me this and you can have it back. Well, that's what she did. A couple days later, she went back and she said, where is it? Remember that tie I got? Here's the claim check for it. She got it back. God had already chosen us. God had already redeemed us. And then at just the right time, he said, here's the claim check. This one is mine. And you know what? The claim check wasn't some old flimsy piece of paper. The claim check was two pieces of wood called the cross. And he said, here's the cross. This one's mine. It's time for him. It's time for her to start walking for me, walking with me, living for me. Think about the time when the gospel first made sense to you. What was going on? Were you headed in the wrong direction, running away from God? Were you shaking your fist in his face? Or were you doing what I was doing, just kind of drifting along, not thinking about it? I remember clearly that night in the middle of my third year in college. A friend took me to an evangelistic outreach, and the guy was preaching on the cross. It's the first time. It's like the blinders went up, the lights came on, bells rang, whistles blew, and all of a sudden, this makes sense. This makes sense. What Jesus did on the cross applies to me, and I need to do something about that. For some of you, it was when you were young. Some of you was older. Some of you, you know, college, wherever it is. At just the right time. That was God saying, you know this one over here? This one's mine. Come on, let's go. Let's go. And you know, he goes on. Paul goes on to say in this passage that God had it all planned out in advance. Had it all planned out. The timing was perfect. The timing still is perfect. And if this morning maybe you feel like, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what God has in mind for me. God has news for you. It's all according to his plan. And if you don't quite know exactly how it's all going to work, it's okay. Relax. He's got it. He's got the plan. You know the old Campus Crusade line, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, God does love you. And God does have a wonderful plan for your life. And sometimes he just lets you know what that plan is one step after one step after one step. So take the next step and know that at just the right time, God claimed you in Christ. And he has it all laid out. He knows where you're going. He knows how it's going to work. He knows where you've been. It all goes together. At just the right time, he claimed us in Christ. And surely, that's a reason to praise God. Thank you. Okay. One more. Verses 13 and 14. For all time, he sealed us in Christ. For all time, he sealed us in Christ. It wasn't enough in God's mind simply to choose us and then to redeem us and then to claim us, to choose us before there was time and to redeem us in the fullness of time and to claim us at just the right time. He decided he's going to seal us for all time with the Holy Spirit of promise. The verb to seal has the idea of to mark with legal, to set a mark of legal guarantee and possession. To set, put on a mark of legal guarantee and possession. You get the idea over in Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, where there's that seven-sealed scroll that no one can open except Christ, the Redeemer, who's portrayed as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And no one has the authority to touch it or open it until the Lamb steps forward and takes it, because it's marked with a seal, with seven seals, perfect protection, perfect possession. And friends, that's what we are. We are marked with the Holy Spirit. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of promise. Why is he the Holy Spirit of promise? Well, he's the Holy Spirit of promise because he's the down payment on what's coming. He is the way God sealed the deal, literally. You know what a down payment is. If you bought a house, you know what earnest money is. That's the way I think the King James translates this as who is given as the earnest of our inheritance. You all know what earnest money is if you bought a house. It's money you give the people up front when you sign the contract, saying you're going to follow through to the end and actually seal the deal when you sign all the papers and sign your life away and everything else. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is for us. He's the down payment. He is the mark of God's possession. He's the mark of God's protection. He is the guarantee that we will make it to where God wants us to make it. He is the down payment on our glorification. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Don't turn over there, but just listen to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 55. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will put on imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? We're over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, where Paul says, when he is made manifest, we will be manifested with him in glory. Because we have the seal of the Holy Spirit on us. It's God's promise. He is God's promise that we will make it to the end he's promised for us. Again, I don't know where you are this morning. Stock market makes it difficult to think about good things about the future. Maybe you're worried about the future. Maybe you have doubts. Here's my advice. Don't call the psychic hotline. Don't read the Wall Street Journal. Read Paul. Because Paul says you are guaranteed. He guarantees your future right here. Your future is guaranteed for all time, because for all time he sealed us in Christ. And surely that's a reason to praise God. Even unsolicited. All right, we're getting there. So before there was time, he chose us in Christ. In the fullness of time, he redeemed us in Christ. At just the right time, he claimed us in Christ. And for all time, he sealed us in Christ. What we've just done is spend some time counting our blessings. How do you feel this morning? You feel better? Do you want to shout and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus? No. Do you want to say something like that? That's okay. Don't go jumping too high or really get in trouble. But when you take time to count your blessings, it changes the way you think. It changes your focus. And that's what Paul's all about here. We should praise God because he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So here's your assignment for the week. Count your blessings, then praise God. Do it once a day, twice a day, three, every day. Count your blessings and then praise God. When life is good, count your blessings and praise God. When things are hard, count your blessings, then praise God. When your sister is okay, count your blessings and praise God. When your brother's a pain in the neck, count your blessings and praise God. When you love your job or when you hate your job, count your blessings, then praise God. When you feel like you're close to God or you feel like you're far away from God, count your blessings, then praise God. When the stock market goes up or the stock market goes down, what do? Count your blessings and then praise God. Because if you take time, if we take time each day to think about the Lord and what he's done and the way he's blessed us, it changes the way we think, because he has indeed blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. So here's a question for you. What's your job this week? Count your blessings, then praise God. Say that with me. Count your blessings, then praise God. That's your assignment this week. If you believe it, do it. Let me pray for us. Thank you, Father, that indeed in your Son, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. You are so good to us. You've done so much for us. May we this week be conscious, be consistent, be intentional about counting our blessings and praising you. And Father, if there's someone who's here this morning who says, I don't know that I'm really blessed. I don't know that I'm in Christ. Father, will you be at work in that person's life to challenge him, to challenge her, to talk to one of the elders, to talk to one of the deacons, whoever it is, not to leave here this morning without doing business with you at just the right time, and this might be just the right time. So, Father, be at work to accomplish your purposes in our lives this week. And as we go through the week, Father, help us to count our blessings and then praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.